Hello, everybody, and welcome to another fantastic episode of your favorite podcast, Double E's Talk Tech. My name is Mike Hoffman.
I'm Daniel Bogdanoff, and I don't know if you know that it's a fantastic episode yet because we haven't recorded it yet.
I just wanted to spice it up a little bit, you know?
Okay. Sounds good. And we have Phil Griesock with us. Phil's kind of our RF guy. So Mike and I know how to spell RF, but that's kind of where it stops. I'm stealing Phil's joke there. That's the fake chuckle. So Phil, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I think we're scaring him already.
Yeah, we'll see.
Are you
if
okay?
It makes it to a second one. But
sorry.
Yeah,
I'm out.
Yeah, hi everybody. My name is Phil Griesock. I used to be an RF application engineer for Agilent and thus Keysight, and moved into the Scopes division a little over a year ago, and now I'm really focused on aerospace defense, particularly radar. So just trying to impart some wireless and aerospace defense wisdom.
Can we do a radar podcast instead of RF basics like we're going to do?
We definitely can. We could start off with RF basics another one on
that
radar.
Sounds good. I've been wanting to do a radar one for a while now.
Game,
so. Okay, cool.
Teach us DC plebeians how RF works.
Okay, so basically RF, you're working in the frequency domain instead of the time domain. Is that...
Generally, that's the conception, but in reality, everything is time domain, you know, if you think about it in a logical fashion. But a lot of RF testing tools end up being more frequency domain oriented. For example, a spectrum analyzer, frequency versus amplitude instead of time versus amplitude, like an oscilloscope. So common thought, but... You know, domain-wise, both time and frequency applications.
That makes
sense. You really want to be concerned with both.
Okay, because I actually live in the time domain and not the frequency domain.
Ah, yeah, it's a good neighborhood.
Yeah. So this may be a more start basic. Like, what's going on? How are we communicating in the frequency domain?
Sure. So let's ground it in a particular application or use case.
Sure.
Right. It's a little bit easier. So. If we think about something that's familiar to most people, let's just talk about radio, right? Say AM radio. So somewhere, in a state, in a county, in a region, there's some radio station with this giant antenna that's going sky high, you know, a couple hundred feet typically. Okay. And some people think that whole thing is an antenna. Well, in reality, just maybe a meter on the top of that structure is the actual antenna.
Really? I did not know that.
So, and running up to that is a super long cable from that antenna down to the radio station itself. And inside the radio station, they might have a setup something like this. So, obviously, we're transmitting our voices through the microphone, through that cable to the antenna. And there's a little bit of other, hardware and processing going on. But ultimately, at the output of the antenna is essentially microwaves. And based on a certain frequency that you're transmitting over, that is being broadcast omnidirectionally, so all in all directions, to various people or various things, whether it's a receiver in your car, maybe a ham radio, or just any other receiver.
Walkman.
Your Walkman, yeah, exactly. So ultimately, what we're trying to do with RF is take advantage of a lot of the spectrum to do different things. And one thing is like wireless transmission of voices or television for images.
On that topic, one thing that always blew my mind is go look up the FCC spectrum allocation table.
That's pretty cool.
It is unreal how subsectored it is between mostly military applications and things like that. And then it's just these couple little slices that you can use for your drones and, you know, phones and stuff like that.
But yeah. No, and it's crazy on how many different applications there are. So obviously there are certain things that we want to communicate with that it doesn't make sense to run a cable to. So how do we do that? We transmit
like a car,
wirelessly.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or like a car. So there's a lot of different frequencies that we can use, and there's pros and cons to different frequencies that we transmit on. And within that, there's the data that we transmit on that frequency. So for like an AM radio station, we change the amplitude of the information we want to send. That's called amplitude modulation.
So you're tuning into, like, when you tune your car radio into a certain radio station, that's a specific like carrier frequency that it's going over?
Exactly. So you get up in the morning, you're coming into the work, and you're listening to, 95.5. And people always associate, oh, that's the radio station. But actually, that's 95.5 megahertz. for FM. So that is the center frequency of which that radio station is transmitting and of which you're tuning your car's radio to receive.
Okay. So you're basically taking your antenna and tuning it to only receive that specific slice of the frequency.
Well, exactly. it's more of like a down converter, right? Where it brings 95.5 megahertz back down to essentially zero, and then that information is kind of butterflied around it, right?
Exactly.
And filtered out.
No, that's a good point. And that's the next part is you don't necessarily always do everything at that higher frequency. You just take advantage of RF or the wireless frequency for the transmission part. But in terms of turning it back into audio, for our example that we're using here, is that, like you said, you down convert it to a more appropriate frequency or to zero hertz or DC, you know, for mm-hmm. the time domain fleetings, sure. as you said. And then you process it and you convert it back into audio. So it's really a method just to take advantage of a different domain so that if you want to transmit something wirelessly or have more than one thing happening at the same time, but segmented in different frequencies,
sure,
you can do that as well.
So theoretically, like if you sent a 1 kilohertz tone on an FM station, that's actually a fixed frequency that you're sending. So you're saying like 95.5010 or whatever.
Exactly.
I'm sure it's
yeah,
not.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some log scale and how that happens. I don't know.
I have a blog article on it actually, the basics of AM and FM. It's pretty cool. It's beautiful. It's for AM at least. The math is beautiful because you basically just take the audio you want. And if you look at it in the spectrum, in the frequency domain, it has, you know, 0 to 20 kilohertz, what have you. You just multiply it by the carrier and boom, it's there. And then when you receive it, you just multiply it by the carrier again, and boom, it comes back with a bunch of weird, you know, different
artifacts.
Transients and artifacts that you filter out.
That's why no one ever listens to AM radio.
Right.
Good for sports games.
Local sporting events, yeah.
Good deal. Yeah, so, you know, wireless is just one application of RF. You know, like we were talking at the beginning and some of the things I'm focused on, people use RF-type technology for things like radars, whether it's from automotive radars for automatic cruise control or, you know, collision detection, or it could be weather radars as well as airport traffic control radars. So there's a lot of different applications, whether, you know, from communication to commercial to aerospace defense that RF really plays into. But ultimately, it ends up not only just being frequency domain, but also time domain, because both those things are going to interact depending on what you're trying to achieve.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So what are there any like major down? So people who are coming from, you know, maybe digital design systems and trying to branch into RF, is there any like advice or common pitfalls and traps that people fall into? Or like, obviously don't hook up a DC voltage to your spectrum analyzer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Don't put a power supply directly into your spec and try to measure voltage. It's not going to do anything good for you.
Okay.
I think a lot of it is just a little bit of nomenclature. Aside from that, a lot of the principles, if not all the principles, are fundamentally the same. So, you know, from a, say, oscilloscope background, someone might say, oh, what's the bandwidth of that oscilloscope? Well, when you say bandwidth in an RF sense, you're talking about a specific bandwidth of a signal.
Sure.
And then if I want to know where that falls, I'm talking about frequency range.
So for an oscilloscope, we always assume if you say bandwidth, you're going to start at DC, 0 hertz, and go up to, so if you say it's a gigahertz bandwidth, start at DC up to 1 gigahertz of signal. But for RF, it's 1 gigahertz around a center frequency.
Right.
So
exactly.
You can have a, you know, 25 gigahertz center frequency, and then you can see 24.5 gigahertz to 25.5 gigahertz.
Analysis bandwidth, is that what it's called?
Yeah. So on an instrumentation sense, analysis bandwidth is the information that's centered around a particular center frequency.
And then, so a channel then is like a specific frequency or a specific frequency range. So we think of FM channels, but we also talk about like other types, you know.
The great example, because if you look at cellular mm-hmm. as well as the FCC allocation chart, a lot of it will have, cellular PCS channels, for example, for cell phones. So Sprint runs on PCS technology, and they have different channels. And that, say, starts at X frequency and stops at Y frequency.
Whereas, and then, like, a different vendor will have an adjacent channel to it?
Different vendors could have adjacent channels or channels in a different band and things like that. So channel in RF domain more so talks about different sets of frequencies to operate in, whereas channel in time domain, or at least time domain instrumentation, might be a physical input like on an oscilloscope. So this gets back to that whole nomenclature difference that if you get over some of these little things, if you're unfamiliar, you really start to understand that, okay, I have information somewhere that I'm trying to analyze or trying to work with, and you end up doing the same thing.
And then, so kind of the basic block outline of an RF system, as I understand it, is you have your source data or whatever it is. So usually it's coming out of some sort of like FPGA or sensor or something, and it gets up converted with a mixer into a carrier frequency. So you input a carrier frequency, or do you...
So that mixer usually has two inputs. One is the information that you want to transmit, and then the second is an LO or a local oscillator.
Okay.
And so simple mixer math is IF plus or minus LO is equal to RF. So there's more behind mixers, and we can do multiple podcasts on that if you really want to get to nitty gritty. But basically, if your signal of interest or your voice, say, is 1 kilohertz and your LO is 1 megahertz, then you're going to output 1.001 megahertz.
Sure.
Plus or minus, right?
Plus or minus.
Yeah. Okay. And then that goes to an antenna of some type.
If you're going wireless, you can go to an antenna. Okay. It could still be sent over a cable or
what would an example of that be? So I guess, when is cabled RF, where does that show up in the real world?
On its way to the antenna, I presume? Or?
Yeah, to the antenna.
But that's still just wireless RF, right? Like, that doesn't count.
there's situations where you want to send narrow bands of information over a single cable. So if we think about
optical.
Yeah, we think about cable TV, for example. Essentially, when you change channels, you're essentially changing different frequencies.
So cable TV is an RF signal, and you're just that makes obvious sense now that I say that out loud. But I'm not sure I could have told you that before.
I always thought the cable company just wired like 700 different pieces of cable into my cable box.
And there's some guy out there changing from cable to cable when you ask to change channel. So,
okay, that answers my question thoroughly. So, and then it goes to cable or something, and then it comes back to a down converter, which is like 1/1 mixer.
Well, it's just another mixer.
Okay,
So it's another mixer, usually with the same local oscillator frequency and a very simple system design. You can choose different frequencies depending on what your digitizer is on the back end to convert that 1 kilohertz.
Okay, so it goes through your down converting mixer into a digitizer, an ADC of some sort, and that ADC feeds into your processing stuff.
Exactly. And then you get voice back or your image back or whatever data that you transmitted originally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. So the interesting thing, a little bit of history, is that when RF or wireless was first being figured out, I forget the exact who proposed this, but fundamentally someone said, well, instead of transmitting the actual data or a sine wave of my voice, for example, or something like that, let's just transmit the frequency, the number. So if I know it's 1 kilohertz, let me just transmit and say it's 1 kilohertz. And people thought that was a great idea because it greatly simplified the system. You didn't have to worry about noise and all these different effects. But the problem is real world signals aren't just a single tone, aren't just a single frequency, much more complex. So,
that until we all become robots and start talking in one,
ones and zeros. Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, I think one of my favorite RF stories is like, so we all know Tesla, and I'm sure this is canon, and someone's going to get mad at me for mistelling a Tesla story, but you'll be okay. Is he went to a pond, and he actually was in lived in Colorado Springs, had a lab here.
Anyway, what's that one movie that was here in town that he was
The Prestige.
Anyway,
Tesla created a teleportation device for a magician, basically.
Right. Okay. Ish.
It's a
good movie. You don't want to give it away. You should just go watch it. Anyway, if you're gonna keep on Tesla, he went to a local pond or something where people walked at the park, and he had a boat with a remote controlled rudder on it. So he basically came up with the idea of like, hey, I can control the rudder with it. But what he did is he went, put it in the water, and then was yelling directions at the boat and had the control in his pocket. And got the crowd, obviously got people's attention because the guy's controlling the boat with his voice. And he had people in the crowd at the park, yelling at the boat to try and get it to do what they want. And he would just kind of control it from his... And I think that's
ultimate
a pretty
troll. I like it.
That's a pretty basic RF system. Like, it's either right or it's left.
Yeah.
And it, you know, you send one tone or another and it figures out the difference between the two, I'd assume, with some sort of comparator, and, you know, triggers an actuator and turns better.
Yeah.
Yeah, RF. Cool stuff.
I like it. I like it. So you work mostly in aerospace defense applications. Is that kind of where you specialize?
Yeah, before I focused on kind of the wireless and commercial communications, but a lot more now on radar systems, yeah.
Well, okay. So who's the dog and who's the tail as far as wireless technology is concerned? Are we seeing a lot of things developed in the military arena and then coming to consumer electronics or vice versa? Because I feel like the demand for consumer wireless electronics is exploding. There has to be a ton of cool innovations in the private sector too.
Oh, certainly. I don't know if, you know, the government sector is necessarily the tail or the dog, or, you know, compared to commercial wireless and vice versa. Probably a classic example is GPS. You know, that was something that was, if I remember correctly, developed by DARPA, or if not, you know, the U.S. government for obvious military reasons. You know, you got to know where you're at on a battlefield, as well as different types of guidance systems and such. And then eventually that trickled back into more commercial systems, and everyone had, you know, like a TomTom or a Garmin type, you know, dashboard GPS before.
The little handheld. I always wanted one of those little handheld GPSs, and I'm so glad. They were terrible.
Compared to, you know, modern day smartphones, which, you know, between different map applications, things like that. So that's a situation where, you know, commercial was definitely on the back end. That was technology trickle too. But in the same sense, if you look at different wireless technologies and RF technologies and applications in the commercial space, like Internet of Things, let's basically put a Bluetooth transmitter on, you know, every, you know, gas meter, water meter outside a house, things like that. You know, that could have some application in the aerospace defense world, but nothing as direct. So sometimes they do flow back and forth, but it really depends on what the driving need is more than anything else.
Interesting. Okay.
So how easy is RF stuff to mess with? So, like, I'm sending a 2.4 gigahertz, you know, we have a Wi-Fi signal in this building. And I wanted to say, you know, let's jam it or whatever. How do you go about doing? Do you just like broadcast on the same frequency and confuse everything, or what does that look like?
There's what you can do and what you should or shouldn't.
I'm not asking
do.
For schematics or anything. Yeah. Like,
well, the long and short of
it, the FCC is
really
going to come knocking on your door. Just to let you know.
We're on so many lists because of this podcast.
It really depends on what frequencies. Like for the ISM band. It's an unlicensed band, so basically anyone can do anything.
What is ISM?
Industrial, scientific, and medicine, or medical.
Medical,
bands.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's like the 2.4 and 5 gigahertz band, like Wi-Fi.
And the 980, or what is it?
I forget that that lower part, but yeah. Okay. But largely, wireless LAN, Bluetooth fall in that arena. And if you look on a lot of those devices, especially consumer devices, it says something to the effect of a FCC tag saying this device must comply with all regulation and be suspect to any other signals, basically.
Sure,
like
I wonder.
So, like if older cordless telephones, you know, the 800 megahertz, 900 megahertz, 2.4 gigahertz ones that everyone thought was really cool because you walk around the house. You know, someone turn on the microwave and then, you know, your call could drop or things like that. It's a perfect example of I have this intentional use case talking over the phone and then someone's firing up Totino pizza rolls or something. And guess what? Your call is, you know, no longer, you know, this girl you're trying to talk to is no more.
I can always tell when my story.
Phil sounds a little bitter here. Yeah.
I can always tell when my roommate was thawing something in the microwave because my Netflix would cut out.
Yep. Exactly. That's why 5 gig wireless is all the rage, you know.
Well, was it a previous podcast we're talking about that new router technology that hops into military bands dynamically?
I don't think so. That's not ringing a bell.
Okay, maybe that was just a conversation I was having with a friend. There's a new Wi-Fi router you can buy that I guess there's some bands that are real close to being the Wi-Fi band, you know, 5 gigahertz ish, but they're for government use. But you're allowed to use them as long as they're not being used by any sort of local entities. Mm-hmm. And so it's this router, it like pops you over to this special channel that basically no one else ever uses. And if it's ever actively being used, it switches off. Anyway, but that was kind of cool.
That was very cool.
But I mean, you could take that concept to the next degree where, you know, if you're a fighter jet flying over, you know, any particular piece of land in the world, for example.
Some come to mind at this specific point in history, but...
You know, you want to know if, you know, someone's painting you with a target or with a radar.
Yeah.
And if that's happening, you know, maybe you intentionally want to jam that radar. And there's different techniques to do that, whether you're just going to broadcast a bunch of noise to drown out that radar signal to noise ratio, or if you do something more deceptive, like change the actual return signal to make it think you're somewhere where you're not. It goes from everything from, you know, microwave screwing up Netflix and, you know, phone calls to girls to, you know, trying to make sure or radar's boys. Not shooting you down. So,
you know, just saying.
There you go. Yeah.
I always wondered how that worked. How can you know that you are being painted, as you said?
But we're actually like over 20 minutes now. So I really want to talk about radar. Can we just like do another episode on radar?
Yeah, sure. Certainly.
Okay, cool.
That's and lasers.
Yeah. I didn't realize you were the radar guy. Otherwise, we just would have opened with that. So, anyway, as part of our podcast, we like to ask our guests a stupid question.
Okay.
So I don't know if Mike has one. Other than R and F, what are your favorite letters? That's my question.
Other than R and F, what are the?
Well, you can't have RF because you know.
Well, I would say the C is my first love.
Okay. Yeah. You're a pirate?
Yeah. She's a pirate joke.
Yeah. So the pirate joke, right? Like, what's a pirate's favorite letter? And everyone goes, R. It's like, oh, you might think that, but he's dedicated to the sea.
Yep. Yeah.
Sorry. Exactly. Just in case you didn't know that joke already. Mike?
Yeah, I got a good one. What's your favorite allocation? What's your favorite frequency allocation from the FCC and why?
Ooh.
This is so a good many one. Options. Do not get this question wrong.
You know, I'm a big fan of about 950 megahertz.
Why?
There's a lot of good local sports broadcasts, plus you got some cellular technology. It's used and it's always there.
It's happening.
It has a purpose. It's never.
It's like the vanilla ice cream of RF frequencies.
Yeah, everyone overlooks it, but you know, from time to time you go back to it and you're like, this is good.
All right.
I'm glad I'm here.
Yeah. Awesome. If you want to learn more about RF stuff, I'd probably just point people to AppNote 150, which is kind of the legendary book of an AppNote. We're also going to have an RF channel, a Keysight RF channel coming up at some point. It might even be live now, depending on when this podcast goes live. We'll see. So just, you know, Google, I'm sure there'll be a link for it somewhere by the time that channel goes live. So check it out. That's all. Make sure you subscribe to Double East Talk Tech on your favorite podcast engine and the Keysight Oscilloscopes YouTube channel. I'm Daniel Bogdanoff, Mike Hoffman. Sorry, I'm going to steal your thunder. And Phil Grisak. Thanks, Phil. Tune in next time. We're going to talk about radar. I'm pretty excited.